Welcome to Five More Minutes, a podcast where some of you want more sermon. So here we are, spending a few minutes talking about the gospel of Jesus, that we are loved by God, that because of the work of Christ, we're reconciled to him and have the Holy Spirit and seek to live the with God life as best we can until he returns. This past week, because I'm an ambitious pastor, we looked at Matthew chapter 5 on lust and divorce, Matthew chapter 19 on the single life and the call to Christ, the call of discipleship, and Matthew chapter 26, how Jesus welcomed everyone. And at the end of Matthew chapter 19, after both his teaching about divorce and the teaching about the single life and let the children come to me, and then the rich young man that approaches him, Peter says, and this is in verse 27, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" What a great question Peter asks Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." If we start talking about divorce, we want to know, are there grounds for divorce? And the answer is, of course. Every single time Jesus spoke about divorce, he assumed that there were grounds for divorce. And yet a humble person seeks to follow him first before they seek an answer to that question. When we're talking about lust, we wonder, is this a problem? Jesus was absolutely clear that it's a problem, and yet there's healing in real life in him. When we look at the single life, for whatever reason, Jesus gives three different categories at the beginning of Matthew chapter 19 about why someone might choose singleness or why singleness might choose a person. And yet, if that overlaps with the decision to follow him, he's clear at the end of Matthew chapter 19 that we will be rewarded a hundredfold for that. You know, Jesus, and there's a lot to say about morals, not because they're what make God happy, but because they are the way to follow him day by day with our skin and hands and mind and imagination and eyes and legal decisions and otherwise. But what the gospel spends more time focusing on is that full allegiance to Jesus of Nazareth is the way to enjoy the joy he has purchased for us. Full allegiance to Jesus Christ will be rewarded in the next life, which is not why we do it, but it is such a significant part of our hope. So as a Christian and as a pastor, people ask me questions about our morals periodically, both those inside the church and outside the church. And what I want to say is that's not where we start. Where we start is the call to discipleship, the call to the with God life, the call to full allegiance in Jesus of Nazareth. Now, acceptance of that call looks a certain way that includes a loving response, but it does not start there. Here again, the good question of Peter and the response of Jesus. "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Ah, what a great question. Christians who have ever made a decision to follow Christ that challenged their other allegiances in some respect are asking that question, "What then will we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." It's good news. Not the morals, because the morals are not the kingdom, but it is good news that we will inherit 100-fold.